Have you ever forgotten an idea? What happens to them? Where do they go? But this isn't your normal story.
Hello, everybody. This is Mark Chaffardini. Thank you so much for coming back to the Go See Talk podcast experience. Man, oh, man, oh, man, we are thrilled beyond belief to speak to our next guest, writer, director, producer, actor, Elijah Allen Blitz is in the house with us to talk about remembering. So please don't forget to listen to this amazing podcast with the man of the hour. Elijah, how's things in your world?
Oh, man, things are good. How are you doing?
I'm fantastic. It's Friday. It's Dallas. The World Cup is going on. It's just ready to get into the weekend, but thrilled to be speaking with you. Remembering, man. Please tell me this is a proof of concept and we're going to see like a series or a graphic novel or movie. Like, don't let it stop after 7 minutes and 7 minutes on exactly. Like, let's talk about that. How did you land on that? Like a short, concise time frame?
Oh, you know, we didn't have we had the story, we knew it was a short, but we didn't have like, oh, it has to be 7 minutes or it has to be this, you know, but it was really going into it with everything that we created and then trying to just tell the best story out of that. So, but also I want to be really clear that you are completely correct that there is a lot more to be done with this, whether that's expanding that into a feature or expanding that into a series, because it's, you know, Bree's character is a writer in the film. And that's just one creative outlet. And what do dancers, what is their creative process? What is their world of imagination? How do ideas come to them? You know, actors, musicians, it's just, I think it spans the gamut. So whether that is a feature, it's a series, we're definitely exploring more ways to expand this.
I love every word in that sentence. Thank you for making my Christmas arrive just a little bit earlier.
So. Right on.
You know, it's really charming. You know, you think about how impacting a note, like the composer, Sanna Wurmeier, Bree's acting and Dusty Peaks, like everything about this, just like, it's like chewing gum. It sticks to you. And I've just not been able to not stop thinking about it. So how long has this been in your brain? And what were the first steps to sort of sharing it with the world?
Oh, gosh, you know, so the idea to create the story of the short came about really, I mean, I've been thinking about something along these lines for a while, but it really, you know, became solidified during the pandemic. And, you know, Dusty is our neighbor. And she, Bree actually said to me, she's like, you know, you should make a movie with Dusty. And it was during the pandemic. And we were trying to figure out a way to be creative. And we, you know, we're going to just shoot this in our backyard. And I've written the script and it, you know, I was connected with the Disney Studio Lab and they kind of reached out and said, you know, what are you working on? I said, I have this little short thing where, and they were like, oh, well, we're interested. And all of a sudden it became something a lot bigger than shooting in our backyard. And we got to work on these gigantic LED volume stages. We got to use, you know, live on set projection mapping. And then also part of it was because I've had this idea for years about creating an augmented reality experience triggered through your device to bring the whatever you're seeing on the screen into your living room. So that was another kind of additional key component of, you know, first to be done exploratory technology, advancing storytelling. But the genesis of the idea of this was very much inspired by the work of Elizabeth Gilbert. And she talks about how ideas are not something that come from us, they're something that come to us. And so I wanted to see what A, that looked like in a visual representation, but also just exploring that more. Like, you know, what is that? What are these things that, you know, we can kind of tune into and be almost like radio receivers and find our way into connecting with them? And then what happens if we disregard them or get distracted or pick up our phone, you know, and seeing what that looks like. And then also the creative essence that's inside of all of us, which is, I hope, part of what stuck to you and resonated with you about this, because that's really the heart of this is like, what is that inside of us that somewhere either we forgot, got disconnected to? And is that your inner child? Is that your, you know, creative essence? What is that?
Well, I mean, I was prepared to see cuteness. I was prepared to be charmed, but I was like, your last name is Blitz for a reason. You just like, your entire football team tackled me. And I was like, this, Mark, you're going to love every second of this, which I did. But I find it so gratifying because there are certain elements, like when Bree first, you see the idea swirling around the calligraphy pen, and she's just about to like become the conduit for this amazing thing. And then you're right, the phone rings, and like she makes that choice. So it's about choices and what you're able to do, whether it comes from you or to you. And I think just that the germ of an idea where people can, don't let it be forgotten. And when Dusty says, take care of it, it's be delicate with the idea, because that's the only way it's going to grow is accepting it. So I love the concept. So even before all that, or how impactful it is when Brie cries at the end, it was like everything about this just sings. So this is Hercules, Hercules, golf claps, Elijah. So
Right on, man. That's awesome. Nutty Professor reference. That's great.
very few people get that. So
Oh, I
thank
got it for
you.
sure.
Well, there's an important question that is asked in the movie. So do you want a dream that slips away or an idea that lasts forever? So have there been things like what else have you've created this cr a great VR experience, the Messy Truth VR experience that I'm want to find out about, but like what else is like on your mind that you want to get out so it doesn't slip away?
Oh gosh, there's a lot of projects. I mean, there's a lot in my head. There's things that I've had for 10 years that I still are inside of me that I'm not giving up on. There are things that have kind of come to me and moved away, and it's really just, partly trusting that process, but also staying diligent enough to know the ones that really resonate and that I will never give up on. Like the Messy Truth. I mean, we've been working on that for 7 years. It's just one of those things that feels so important and impactful to humanity to try and use virtual reality to create a curriculum for empathy, which is the goal of that project. But also there's a series that I've been working on for a while. We got the rights to in the last couple of years about Ram Dass, the spiritual teacher, and his kind of journey with Timothy Leary in the psychedelic 60s and bringing the Eastern, mysticism and yoga to meditation to the West during the 70s. He wrote the book Be Here Now. A lot of people might not be familiar with him, but telling that story as a series. Anyway, there's a lot of different projects we've got going on in different capacities.
Well, there's a tremendous line of, I guess it's monologue, if you're talking to an idea. I don't know. I don't know how that dynamic works between Dusty and the idea. But when she says time isn't real, I mean, talk about a mind expanding concept because, if something's a good idea in the 1800s, it's still a good idea now. Like we have wheels and steam engines, these things that have changed us forever. So I just love how. I just was not prepared how this impacted me. So, what has the reception been? What is like what the happiest takeaways that you might be experiencing just being able to talk press about this?
Gosh, first of all, I'm so glad that you resonated with that line because that was such a key component of this, especially when you're dealing with the younger and a future self and what that means and how does this all work. And it's like just the remembering that, time is something that we've created. It's like the wheel and it's like, these different inventions that we have. We take it very seriously. Like we're able to be on this Zoom because we set the time and, we use time as a tool, but that doesn't mean that it's real in the sense of how I think we can all take it. I know I'm guilty of it, taking it way too seriously and really believing that like time just, it's a thing and it runs everything. Where actually it's something that we've created as a tool to help us, interact with the world, do all kinds of incredible stuff. So just anyway, I really appreciate that you resonated with that line. And then what was the second part of your question?
I forgot. I was so captivated
Okay.
with your response. So we're just going to move on.
Right on.
Well, the great thing about a short is, you're able to hit it and quit it so fast. Like I'm a big fan of film music, and I was just enchanted with the score. So I guess you need to be efficient with everyone's time on a short because it's like making a feature. Just you condense it. So how do you like? Hit it from the very first frame, the note, like the music, like what were some of the dialogue you had with your composer and just knowing like what you wanted to achieve with this.
Yeah, so I worked really closely with Sunna, and she is absolutely spectacular. And she has a place in a little town outside of London called Salisbury. And I would go to her studio, and we would just work for days, and we would just go over and fine tune and tweak and just figure stuff out. Even like I played piano a little bit, so I was able to kind of like help, share my ideas. I'm like, I'm thinking like this, but just going back and forth with her, and her mind and her taste is so fantastic. And also having so much of the same shared references from childhood of like the songs and the music and the themes that evoked emotion in us, and going into that and trying to find those places of what, not like how to copy what they did, but what is it inside of that that made me feel something. and what is the combination of chords and visuals, and how does that all work, and timing of each, you know, note being played. So the music was, I mean, the music to me, it is essential in terms of, you know, filmmaking, telling stories, but like this in particular, especially like you said, we only have 7 minutes to tell it. So we really got to make sure that the music is really just advancing the story.
And you really do have to grab, you know, I've heard composers talk about grabbing every bit of the, you know, even like the title cards, you know, you're already getting immersed in this world because it makes it that much more impacting. And, you know, it's really cool that you got to work with the volume, because that's what they used to shoot The Mandalorian and Thor Love and Thunder. So what's that experience like?
That's the best to me. I love shooting on the volume. I've done some more projects on the volume since then. That is where I want to be making movies. I mean, blue screen and green screen for me, that's not the move. And especially working with a kid. So it's like, if we just had Dusty there, who's, you know, not at all a trained actress. And she, it was just like, first of all, we interviewed her before any production began. And we said, what does the world of imagination look like? And she described to us, you know, unicorns made out of moonlight and waterfalls that fairies slide down and dolphin clouds and all this stuff. And so then to be able to create that and have her step on set, we never called action once. We were just always rolling. I told her that the camera was her robot friend named Alexa, and that they were in a staring competition to not look at each other. And we just were rolling. And we was like, some of the stuff Dusty was just saying, some of it we kind of say, well, what if you said this? And when, you know, be feeding her lines. But it was just a play and interaction between Bree and myself and Dusty, and just, you know, creating this world. Because to have a giant blue wall, that's not going to be conducive for the same kind of creativity and awe and wonder. Like when you see that shot where Dusty's sitting on the cliff and the idea shooting star goes across the sky and is reflected in her eyes, that's a real reflection off the volume. And that's her genuine reaction for the first time seeing it.
Well, it must have mirrored my emotion and my perception seeing it, because I was just like, the beauty and majesty of this was immense. And it just felt like you truly, even in through a computer screen, I felt like I was transported to another world. So it's great that she's able to get that that exposure. And you know what's even better about that is that I have a 7.5-year-old, and there's some commonalities between my daughter Olivia and what Dusty did. Like when she's like, you can go if you want to, or it's like this way. There's like, and even the like body, it was so real. So I think that's another charming facet of this this gem that you've created. So
that's it. I mean, it's creating an environment for her to be herself, which is that pure imaginative creative being, you know, and so just creating a world where that can thrive and live.
Well, I'm most taken with just really how bare bones it is. You know, you don't need a lot. I mean, it probably was a tremendous effort to put this together. You know, special thanks to a crew of people and set designers, but a story works when all the elements click. And it's like, it's surprising, just three elements. You have an idea, you have a young girl and an old girl. It's like, beyond that, I don't know how you did the alchemy to like, I almost cried, Elijah, but I didn't. My heart, it fluttered and palpitated. So
that's beautiful. Right on, man. That's great.
So yeah. So who are some of your biggest advocates? Who are some of your biggest people who like you look for to inspiration or to fact check some of the ideas you have just to make sure you're on the right path or maybe just mentor you?
Oh, you mean in the process of creating this?
Yes.
I mean, well, you know, it obviously started with Bree saying like, you should make a short film with Dusty. And, you know, what the thing about Bree that like people understand that she's a genius at acting, but I don't know if people fully understand. Bree is the legitimate genius. Period. Like across the board, she's absolutely brilliant in all things. I mean, she just with the ability to kind of bounce ideas off of her and work, you know, together, especially with Dusty. She's also, I used to teach kindergarten, so I have a passion of working with kids, but she's just incredible at working with kids. So the relationship with her and Dusty on set is really, you know, so much of what got this to become what it was with Dusty's performance. But then also the Disney Studio Lab. I mean, they jumped in with both feet. We're talking about, especially with the AR component and the live on set projection mapping, doing stuff that had never been done before. And they're like, okay, we're going to figure it out. Like, we don't know the answer, but we're going to figure it out. And they brought on an incredible team in Magnopus that helped build all the CG worlds and helped also build the AR experience. Then Crafty Apes did the visual effects. We filmed the volume was on Nant Studios, but also you actually pointed to it, the blending of the digital and the physical. So we had an incredible production designer named Tyler, and he was able to take all of these real elements, all the plants and flowers and trees and the cabin, everything you saw there, those were physical elements blended almost hopefully seamlessly with the digital environments, because that's the key. If it was just all, you know, digital, it doesn't feel the same. You need to have that tactile things and also stuff for Dusty to interact with. I mean, you know, she's there like picking grass off the ground and just doing her thing and just like creating a world again where she can just play.
Well, can you go back to the, you say Disney Studio Lab? Where is that located? In
the Disney Studio Lab is they're basically a part of Disney that is really focused on supporting creators and innovators doing new things. And I had met them actually before the pandemic, and we were talking about, you know, working on some stuff together. That's how we connected after this script was written. And they are just so open-minded. And that is just some of the best stuff you can ask for in a collaborators, because, you know, obviously making movies is the most collaborative medium there is. I can't think of another one, not even close. So it's like being able to have people on the team that say, okay, I don't know how this is going to work, but let's figure it out together. So we were able to jump in and just, you know, doing concept art, sketching things out and saying, what if it was like this? What if it was like that? And, you know, me being able to share my ideas. But it's really, I think it's Ray Dalio who talks about the idea of, like, he calls it an idea meritocracy. And it's like, that's where, what it is. It's not like, it's not a dictatorship. It's an idea meritocracy where the best idea wins. And so myself being the director, being open to that, because if I have an idea for how the thing can look and somebody says, well, what if there's a waterfall over there? And that's better than whatever I was thinking. I'm open to that because it's all about the collaboration.
Well, when you get to a certain point, I love the idea. It's like you're jazzing, you're making it up as you go. But like, at what point you're like, yeah, I think we got it. This guy's good. You know, it's going to work.
What do you mean in regards to?
Oh, like you were saying that everybody was trying to do something that maybe had never been done, or you weren't sure it was going to work. At what point, like, what was your watershed moment, or what was the point in the process, this process, where you're like, yes, what we're doing, let's keep going because it's working?
Oh, I mean, there was a lot of those moments along the way, because it obviously wouldn't have been made if we didn't like have those moments as we're going. So it's like, yeah, there has to be a lot of like, oh, it does work. Okay, this environment looks beautiful. And then seeing it on the stage for the first time was just mind blowing. Seeing the cabin and the set and everything built, and having like the bluff and the rocks were like the physical elements on the stage with the digital, like, that was a mind-blowing experience where it's like, oh, it really works. You know, pushing through the ferns in that one shot where you see Dusty silhouetted by the crater, like, oh, it does work. You know, these are all things that we'd spent time just, you know, diligently just drawing out and illustrating and trying to figure out the colors and everything and how it would flow. And then to see it is amazing. The biggest, I don't know if I can say the biggest, but the it maybe is the biggest because it had never been done, is the first time seeing the augmented reality piece work. That was where everyone went, oh my goodness, because that had literally never been done. So it was like, it was something we all talked about. I mean, I've been trying to do something like this for 5 years. Everyone said it was impossible. You know, I always say I'm dyslexic. So when I hear no, it means on. And so I knew that not only did I know that it was possible, but I knew that it was going to be amazing whenever it was done. So I just kept pushing. And everyone's saying, no, it's not there yet. It's not going to work. And then finally, it was really, again, with the Disney Studio Lab, they were like, I don't know how, but we're going to figure this out. And that's what we were able to do with the team at Magnopus and everyone, like I talked about. I mean, it's really, that's what it is. It just takes a team of open-minded people jumping in and saying, let's figure this out.
Well, the idea worked. The proof is in the magical pudding. And just one getting to know you question before we wrap up. So Brie Larson was in The Unicorn Store. Dusty wants a unicorn when she grows up. What's your spirit animal? And if it is a unicorn, you guys going to get tattoos when Dusty's the appropriate age?
Oh, goodness. I don't intend to get any tattoos as far as I know. My spirit animal. I've actually never really thought about that. I'm very open. I mean, I feel like it kind of depends. This sounds like a funny answer, but it's like it depends on the day what my spirit animal is. Because like sometimes I need to show up as different things to get stuff done in different capacities.
Well, what's the next thing on your plate? And then we'll hit end and let you get on with your day. What's on the horizon for you?
Yeah, I mean, you know, figuring out, like we talked about in the beginning, trying to expand remembering and seeing what that looks like, whether it's a feature or a series, or how to, you know, keep going with that. And then this Ram Dass project, and then always, you know, the Van Jones, The Messy Truth. And that's something that, you know, we will never give up on. You know, we're talking with a lot of other incredible actors and actresses and trying to, you know, figure out how to create, many episodes that ideally you'd be able to put on a headset and see through someone else's eyes and see from someone else's perspective. So that's something that I will never give up on.
Elijah, thank you so much for your time. Everyone, don't forget to check out Remembering and believe in yourself and follow those ideas and dreams. We will catch you next time.
Sometimes grown-ups forget their imaginations.